Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Well, we're half and half. It's Wendy Snyder sitting in for John Records Landecker tonight. And a beef, a dog, and a pizza. I would take all of them right now. Dan Levy joins me. Hi, Dan.
Wendy, how are you?
I'm good. Long time no talk. I hear you on with John. And I should call in sometime. I listen almost every time you're on with him.
That would be amazing. I love when you're on.
Well, this food fight, by the way, is sponsored by AndersonsCandyShop.com. All right, so here's how this works. You and John Landecker basically take different sides of a particular item. And I heard the development of this one. It's chicken parmesan versus eggplant parmesan.
Yes.
I also heard you very nobly say, I'll take the eggplant. I hate eggplant.
You don't like eggplant in general.
Oh, my God. Eggplant has no use in this world.
Now, there are so many different ways to do an eggplant. Have you ever had an eggplant parm? Have you ever had like a deep fried eggplant?
Anything deep fried is good.
True.
So I would, I like squash, and it is a type of squash, but for some reason maybe I just haven't had good eggplant parmesan.
Well, there's a couple places in Chicago that are really good and a couple that are right next to where you're sitting in downtown Chicago. So there's some places we can go. We can try it if you want.
All right. But chicken is where it all began.
Yeah, I've often said a lot of times that I judge an Italian restaurant based on a chicken parm. That's like my litmus test for a restaurant. When it's a Chinese place, I got to know how good the egg rolls are. When it's Mexican, how good is a taco? And for me, if you're going Italian, if the chicken parm is not good, I'm out.
And it has to be served with a side of pasta. Occasionally, you will find a place that gives you a potato of some sort with the chicken parm, and that should not ever happen.
I was going to say, and that's the case, I would be out.
Yeah.
Same with the bread on the table. If there's an Italian place, and they don't give you the bread on the table with the oil and the cheese, I'm also questioning that.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe it's just me, but I always have to ask for that second basket of bread.
Yes. And just, and you get to that point where when you have that second basket and you go, I'm starting to feel bad about myself. There is a moment of shame when they bring that second basket and then your main meal comes and you take a bite of that first bite and you're like, all right, so how many boxes are we going to need? Two boxes?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm half Italian. My mom was all Italian, and that's the culture that I grew up with in my family. I know this is going to sound really ridiculous, but I don't really like spaghetti.
Just as like a noodle pasta or spaghetti as in like that noodle itself?
Well, that noodle itself. Okay. I make spaghetti and meatballs, but I like a bigger, bolder piece of pasta that you can eat al dente with, you know,
you actually got Italian al dente.
Like
I've known you for 20 years.
Yeah,
that's the first time I heard you put a little Italian flavor on
that. But like rigatoni. I would like a big rigatoni or mustachioli has to have lines because then, you know, it holds the sauce better. But spaghetti, it's like it's not a big enough bite of pasta. Do you understand at all?
I understand that, but there is something too when you twirl the fork around and you get like the perfect wrap around itself that when you take it down, it's like one. It's one thing when it's all kind of hanging off the fork and you got to do the under face underneath and get your chin all sauced up. But there is something too if you get the perfect spin and a little piece of like a meatball or meat sauce, that is heaven.
Yeah, I'm getting to like it better because I have a really good spaghetti and meatballs recipe that I like to make. Maybe I'll share it with you someday, Dan.
That one I want to hear all about.
All right, well, how does this work exactly? So
usually, if we were going to do this with John, he would give a history lesson, but we would still kind of debate this one out. So if we're going to do this, y'all let you give me why you like the chicken better. I already know you don't like the eggplant, but tell me more about what the chicken parm does for you.
It's a dish that consists of breaded chicken breast covered in tomato sauce and mozzarella. I have heard, Dan, and I could be wrong, that they don't really serve chicken parmesan in Italy. Have you heard that too? Yeah, I kind of did.
Every time I think I really like something from a particular region, I always find out that, no, that's not Italian or that's not from Mexico. This is something that people made up in America. So I can see that happening. I can see that. I can see more eggplant being more of a thing out there. That's more Mediterranean kind of flavor.
Yeah. I just said that, talking out of my butt, by the way, that it wasn't in Italy. But now it turns out I'm right. The dish, also known as chicken parm, file that under duh, originated in the Northeast United States from Italian immigrants and became a popular staple in restaurants serving Italian-American cuisine by the 1950s. And then home versions also grew in popularity. So
I did not realize you were coming that strong with that kind of history. Well done.
Well, you just said that usually John gives some type of history. Jack Heinrich,
I didn't realize you were coming with the facts. I was like, wow, that's really good.
Well, I just thought maybe I would do it. But yeah, chicken parm. I love chicken. Chicken is so great. And any way you serve it is really good. But then if there's a breading on your chicken, that's just a bonus. So mix that with melted mozzarella on top and a nice marinara and maybe a side of
mostaccioli.
Yeah, mostaccioli
for you. Yeah. I'll say this before, because I know we're going to go to a break here in a second. I grew up in a Jewish household. My parents kept pretty kosher when I was younger in the East Coast. So when we went out to eat, there was a lot of times I couldn't have meat out. They were very, like, you know, strict about that. So we got really good as kids getting to know the veggie side of stuff, the eggplant parm and veggie pizzas and even like vegetable dumplings and stuff like that.
Mm.
So for me, a good eggplant, if it's cooked right, is amazing. I've had a lot of eggplant where it's overcooked and it's kind of mushy and it's kind of gross. But if you go to like a real Italian place, Rosebuds has an amazing, by the way, an eggplant appetizer, which is kind of similar, but it's almost like a caprese salad with a balsamic glaze over it. But anytime you get a really good piece of eggplant, you kind of do it that way. And the other thing I like about eggplant, it's like the vodka of vegetable. Usually it will just absorb whatever the flavor is of the meal itself. So as long as the marinara is good, as long as the cheese is good, and the seasoning is good, the eggplant should complement it. It shouldn't like take it over. It should almost just be like an extra note with it. Whereas the chicken, if you want to do that chicken, if that chick is rough and rubbery, it's not going to be good either. So for me, a good piece of eggplant, and you feel healthier. You feel a little bit better. It's a vegetable. That was pretty good,
I guess. And I think the key is to how it's cooked, because I've had rubbery chicken, and that is not good. But I've also had like eggplant that's not cooked enough, so it's kind of on the crunchy side. But the mushy's worse.
Yes, the mushy eggplant is that's not a good way to roll. But same with chicken. I mean, how many times have I gone to a place that was kind of questionable, cut into the chicken? I'm like, ooh, this thing could probably be brought back to life if I gave it a chance. I've been to a couple places where it's been a little undercooked.
All right, so I think we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and find out. Jack, you'll give us the real results of people voting on the food fight, which is sponsored by Anderson's. Let me just give it one more little hit here, AndersonsCandyShop.com. And we'll continue talking to Dan Levy next, but should I read this now then? All right. All right, folks. I've got a letter from Katie at Anderson's Candy Shop, you know, the fourth generation candy maker in Richmond and Barrington. And it reads, "Dear friends, there is a lot in this world that I cannot control. The price of eggs, world politics, whether it will rain. But when I get worried, I have a friend who reminds me to focus on the good that is mine to do for me. That's raising my kids, being an encouragement to others, and of course, making the best chocolates you can find. That might sound silly, candy making being a good that I can do, but as part of a century-old business, I feel like it is. Our marshmallow eggs, caramel bars, and cream-filled chocolates bring smiles and comfort to thousands of people each year. We connect our customers to memories and loved ones past. We are a reminder that the whole world hasn't cut corners. So, here's your reminder to work on the good that is yours to do. And an invitation to eat some delicious chocolate, too. Is this whole show about food? Because now I'm just starving. All right. We'll take a quick break and then back with Dan Levy and Food Fight here on 720 WGN. All right. John's off tonight and tomorrow, so I'll be filling in. But Dan Levy's here, and it's Food Fight. And I don't know if you're on TikTok. Are you, Dan?
Oh, I'm on the talk.
Yeah, I waste, I must waste hours a day on it.
But oh my God, I'm with you. In fact, it's funny because the algorithms that I have are like, it's all like, how do you eat food now? It used to be all about like sports.
Yeah.
Then it got to some voiceover stuff, and now everything is about the five things you could do when you go to Trader Joe's.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the three meals you can make. Here's the new finds at Costco. And I'm like, ooh. I want to get that.
Well, I'm into house plants now, so I get a lot of the crazy plant ladies, which I am one of. But I have
Wait. Are you the kind that are doing like you get like an orange seed and you do all kinds of things and you get an orange plant?
Not yet.
I've always wanted to do that. If you do that, I want to know all about that.
All right. No, I just started collecting house plants, but I gotta tell you, there's this. Just if people are on TikTok, you can Google. Chicken cutlets and Rita. She's an Italian woman, and she has a great accent, and she makes these chicken cutlets. And I followed her recipe instead of like you get it. First of all, chicken breasts are so giant lately; it's like they're dinosaur breasts. Do you know?
I don't understand it. I agree with you.
Oh.
I was like, what chicken did this come from?
I know.
I've never seen a chicken that size.
So when you make a cutlet, you're supposed to slice it like through the middle of it and make it really thin.
Well, this butterfly it.
Yes. And you can do it several times because they're so giant lately. But she cuts it like in, like a cross. She'll just cut it in strips, like for chicken strips.
Oh, yeah.
And then she kind of pounds it. I don't know why or how, but it's even more tender when you do it that way. And here's her tip, Dan. I made these. They are so good. You get an Italian dressing. I happen to use Good Seasons that I made in the cruet. And when you have your egg wash, you mix in the Italian dressing and you soak the chicken for like 15 minutes or so before you bread them, put them in the breading and fry them. And they are so good.
That does sound amazing.
Her name is Rita, and look up chicken cutlets and Rita. And I'm telling you, it is the best chicken cutlet you've ever had.
That all sounds good. The ones I always get kind of talked out of whenever I see some of these is all the time I'll see one where they do just that, and then they go, now put it in the slow cooker, and then there's about 90,000 ingredients they got to put in after that. And like, it's so super easy, and then they spend 4 minutes on every seasoning in the house, and I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
If I got to use all that plus 3 bottles of Olive Garden's Italian dressing, I'm
right.
not doing it.
Although I did learn from TikTok also that everyone in the world uses onion powder and garlic powder.
And paprika.
On everything.
And paprika.
Oh, yeah. Paprika's a new one. Yeah, that's
true. A lot
of
paprika, I see. Yeah.
All right. So I played the part of John tonight saying, I like chicken parmesan, Dan, and you like eggplant parmesan. And now how do we get the results of people that voted? Does Jack
now
handle
this? Now
we
go to our award-winning producer, Jack, who will give us the running tally off the website at WGNRadio.com.
I'm not sure about award-winning, but I'm here.
you get the award for my heart, buddy.
There we go. That's all that matters. So the results, 58%. Eggplant.
What?
I was shocked.
You guys are liars.
I'm with you, Wendy.
I am shocked because I was giving this layup to you because I was like, you're new and I want you to have this win. And there is no way I'm going to be able to talk my way into a vegetable being better than chicken. But I'll take it. I'll take the W.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
All right. Well, Barguments, tell us about that, because I don't even believe this. You people have no taste out there.
You can be a guest on Barguments anytime you want, Wendy. It's a podcast I started a few years ago, and it's just exactly how it sounds. It's arguments and discussions you would have at a bar with your friends, at a barbecue, barbershop, wherever you kind of gather on and volley some ideas and some fun arguments. It's now on YouTube. It's on wherever you could download your podcasts. Barguments it is, fun guests, fun conversation. And the one we did this week that I thought was pretty good, if you see a bad guy coming after you, what action star from movies would you choose to be your bodyguard? Is there a person, an action figure from a movie, somebody out there, even a wrestler? Is there one person that you would choose to save your life?
This is just ridiculous, but the first person that popped into my head was Charles Bronson.
Charles Bronson was amazing. That is a really, really good one, because I don't think a lot of the kids know exactly what Death Wish was, but that guy went to the extreme.
Yeah. I don't know.
I would agree with you, but he didn't get activated until someone died. So I was like, I don't want to be the reason he goes off because I died.
Okay, that's a good point.
I need a guy like Arnold who's going to kick through all kinds of stuff with all kinds of weird guns and take everybody out. So I'm still going Schwarzenegger, even in his 80s right now, where he's drinking lots of peppermint schnapps. I'll take Schwarzenegger.
All right, Jack, that's a good one.
Jack, if you were to pick one, is there an action figure you would take?
I didn't really action figure, like superhero.
Whoever you want to, whoever's saving your life, buddy.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's not an action figure.
He's probably at the top, star. Right?
Okay, action star and action figure are two different things. Trust me, I'm married to a Star Wars fan.
Is Charles Bronson an action figure? You know what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Arnold's pretty good. I didn't really look into this stuff growing up, so it's not my area. I was a big Batman guy. I'd take Batman, if that works.
Okay.
That works.
Yeah.
Cape Crusader, we can do that one.
Which Batman? Michael Keaton?
Sure. Yeah. Any of them.
Oh, all right. How does this work for next time when John's back? Now, do you guys come
usually
up
we try to choose the next one that we can try to go against him, but he's the one that usually decides what we should do for the next one. So maybe we can already try to figure one out. If you want to kind of figure out what another food fight would be, we could always try to do that one.
Yeah, I don't want to be responsible for this because, you know, if John doesn't like it, then, you know, he's stuck with it. So,
you know what? That's okay. I'm down with it. We can give him one.
I'm trying to think of a more powerful man. I can't believe, like, I can't even tell you the last time I thought of Charles Bronson.
I am impressed. I would have thought The Rock. I would have thought somebody would have said The Rock.
No.
Dwayne Johnson is usually that guy that people kind of claim to. You could also do RoboCop. You could also do, you could do the Mask. That guy was crazy, too. You could do Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, I guess.
You do somebody from Cobra Kai. You can do Hulk Hogan. Superman. We went Batman. We could go all kinds of people.
I would do somebody from Reservoir Dogs. Michael Madsen, whoever he was.
I was say, was that Mr. Orange?
I don't know, remember. Purple? Pink? I don't know. I think that was Buscemi.
Jules from Pulp Fiction? I could do some Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
You told that girl to be cool. She was cool. She was cool.
I don't know. Jack, do you and Dan want to figure out something that maybe John and Dan can fight about next time on the food fight?
Yeah, I gotta get what we've talked about before. Someone on the text line said pancakes or omelets. Did you do that one?
You did.
I don't think we've done that one.
Didn't you do pancakes or waffles? Didn't you?
We could also do French. We could also do French fries versus onion rings.
Oh, that's a good one too.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Can you do a half and half?
a third
every
option.
Every now and then, if you get an order of French fries or an order of onion rings, sometimes there's one that sneaks its way in there, and it's amazing.
I hear the angels sing when I find that errant onion ring in my French fries. It's so great.
Yeah.
And in the back of my mind, I'm like, how come I couldn't sneak in a mozzarella stick?
Oh, no, I have never gotten that.
That would be the best one. But every now and then you get one or the other, and I love that part of it.
Oh, that's exciting. So honestly, this is all that goes on during the show as you guys talk about food. And then
there's also usually a music style. There's a part where he plays some music. He does an ode to one of the topics, and he'll play a music selection of one of the two.
Oh.
And we just kind of battle it out.
I don't know how he finds all those songs.
Oh, I do. That guy is a walking...
Well, that's true.
No, his middle name is Records.
Yeah.
If he doesn't know how to find music, he was not named correctly.
Dan, isn't your middle name Laserdisc?
My middle name is... You should have lost this food fight tonight, but somehow you won.
Yeah, I can't believe that. Congratulations. I'm a loser, so what can I say?
You're the winner because I get to leave and you get the show all to yourself. You win. You get everything.
Well, I appreciate talking to you. I haven't talked to you in a long while.
Wendy, the last time I saw you, I think we were looking for my wedding ring inside of a couch. So anytime I can talk to you on this side, I'm good with it.
We'll have to save that for another food
That's
fight.
That's one of the best stories I've ever had at a radio station. We can do it next time.
All right, yeah, that's for sure. No, because now I'm going to be wondering about it.
Now that, my friends, is how you tease.
Oh, that's terrible. All right, Dan, great to talk to you.